grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word this evening, this Good Friday, is the gospel lesson I read for you just a moment ago, John chapter 19, but particularly verse 22, which says, "What I have written, I have written." Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, who are these people? Who are these people? As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw Jesus, this is right from the Bible, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" Again from the Bible, the Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, Jesus must die." Again from the scripture, the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." Again from the scripture, they shouted, take him away, crucify him." Again from the scripture, the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Again from the scripture, the chief priests protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but did this man claim to be the King of the Jews?" Again from the scripture, because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. And again from the scripture, the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate, and they said, "We remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver Jesus said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day." Who are these people? You think that Pilate wasn't thinking that as he tried to deal with the Jews in our lessons? Pilate was not from that part of the world. Pontius Pilate was a Westerner. He was from Rome. He was from a place where the ideals, at least, were the rule of law and reasoned and rational discourse and devotion to duty and propriety and public service, and honorable behavior. And now he is appointed the governor of Judea in the Middle East, and the man is dropped into a seething cauldron, a cauldron of vendettas and blood feuds and assassinations and wild emotions that turn on a dime, an honor-shame culture where you want to get yourself in honor, but you want other people to be shamed. Pontius Pilate is in a place where there's pushing and shouting and shoving in the marketplace, where your enemies, and by the way, don't pay any attention to their smiles, they are all your enemies. They will use any means, fair or foul, reasonable or unreasonable, right or wrong, devious or strong-armed, to get their way, and even better, to see you brought down in the process. How often did Pilate sit at his desk with dispatches in front of him and the administrative work of the empire in front of him and hold his head in his hands and say, "What did I get myself into? Who are these people? What is this place?" Well, it has been very common over the years to look upon Pontius Pilate as a weak and a vacillating individual. But I have a feeling that our servicemen and women who have served in the Middle East might be a little bit more charitable toward him because they had to deal with much the same things, the same kind of culture that he faced. And with everything that he faced from the people there in the Middle East, is it any wonder that finally Pilate got pushed too far. As these perpetually contentious people come to him with yet another complaint, another gripe, another thing that hasn't been done right, and they say, "Do not write," over there on the cross, I-N-R-I, Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeorum, "Do not write Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." And what does Pilate do in tonight's lesson? He gets the last word. He gets his little revenge. He says, "Quod scripsi, scripsi. What I have written, I have written." In other words, deal with it. Deal with it. Well, if you do not understand that man's words, then you've probably been living on a desert island your whole life. You haven't been living among the human race. Because to the human race, we often want to say what? Deal with it. Deal with it. We shake our heads at the people of the Middle East and all of their wild behavior and all of their vendettas and all of their revenge, but what do you think they do when they look at us? Do they shake their heads too? Do they look at America much like the Jews looked at the Romans? They said, "Look at that big, swaggering imperial power filled with selfish people, individual-oriented people, amoral people who don't believe in anything at all except for the fact that they live in a morally superior world and with a morally superior worldview, and they are entitled to impose it on anybody they want, any victim, willing or unwilling, as they so choose." And so we shake our heads at them, and they shake our heads at us. And on Good Friday, we realize the good Lord shakes his head at everybody. Book of Genesis. The Lord looked down on the earth, and he saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and the Lord was grieved in his heart. It's almost like someone said, "Lord, you know, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently?" And he almost comes to the place where he says, "Well, you know, thinking about it, I don't think I would have made people. I don't think I would have made man." We sang about it just a moment ago. We sang the words, "You who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate." It's part of our Western sunny view of human nature that we tend to feel that the greatest threats to us are things that are sort of out there. What's the biggest threat? Well, a pandemic, or maybe global warming, or maybe an asteroid hitting planet Earth, or maybe an alien invasion, if there are such things. We think these are the biggest threats, but what does our Lord Jesus say? He says, "Don't fear those who can kill your body, but after that, there's no more they can do. I will tell you whom to fear: him who can cast both soul and body into hell because of sin. Yes, I tell you, fear him." And that's not speaking of the devil. It's speaking of the Lord God who is holy. And he looks at you over there, and looks up here, and looks at the Middle East, and looks at the West, and shakes his head and says, "That's not how it works. That's not the way." And after all, why shouldn't he cast every single person, body and soul, into hell? Is there one reason you can think of why he wouldn't do it? Well, tonight we think of the reason, and we come across the reason. And again, what we sang in the hymn, You who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed. See who bears the awful load. It's the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. When Pontius Pilate was confronted with the thoroughly malicious and exasperating human race, Pilate responded rightly. He responded rightly. He said, "What I have written, I have written. You deal with it. Enough of you people. Enough of you." And yet, when confronted with the thoroughly malicious and exasperating human race, the Lord God, contrarywise, did not respond rightly. The Lord, too, said, "What I have written, I have written," but what he wrote was something different. He did not write down, "Deal with it," because you couldn't deal with it and I couldn't deal with it. What he wrote was, "It is finished. It is finished." The words of our Lord Jesus on the cross, what did he say? He said, "The work of salvation is finished. The sacrifice for your sin is finished. The condemnation of God's law, which is always telling you haven't done enough or you've done too little, it is finished. The power of death is finished. The fear of judgment is finished. The accusation of Satan is finished." Book of Romans chapter 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation." It's all finished for those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, what God has written, and he wrote it in the blood of his Son Jesus. Now, the devil can bring before you all the things that you failed to do, all the things you should have done, and you can say, "Yes, devil, you are right." But you can also say, "God has written what he has written, and he's been merciful to me. And he wrote it in the blood of his Son. And he says, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are washed away." And if you're your last hour and there floods before your mind all the terrible things you've done in your life, you can still say, "Yes, this is all true, but God has written what he has written." And what did he write in the blood of his Son? He said, "It is finished." He said, "You are saved." He said, "God dealt with you. God dealt with it." And so what do we sing? We sing, "Here we have a firm foundation. Here the refuge of the lost. Christ, the rock of our salvation, his is the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built." And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.